Did Thomas Crapper really invent the toilet? How did Soviet-era famines give us Tony the Tiger? How did Sigmund Freud's nephew use bananas to start a 36-year civil war? You can learn all about these and hundreds of stories in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Link in the description. If evolution was true, what would the evidence look like?
Well, it's not what we have currently. We would see that gaining complexity. We would see much more mutations we do per generation than we do. We would see increase.
Why is that?
Specificity. Every single time a mutation happens, we would see that quite often, much more often than we see now.
Buddy, one at a time.
We would see, for instance, okay, go ahead.
So pick one of those things.
So mutations creating complexity.
Okay. At what rate would we see that occurring?
What?
At what rate would you expect us to see that occurring?
Well, you have to set the goalpost here.
Yeah, we would see that happening much more frequently. I think there's probably lots of papers.
No, you have to set a goalpost.
At what rate?
You're talking about the base pair difference between two different organisms closely. We're talking about like, we would need a very high clip rate. We're talking about like billions of, like, you know, 3.2 billion in human. If there's like a 30% difference, you would have to see like
a 30% difference. We'd turn into different species.
Yeah. So between humans and chimps, there's a 30% difference.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, you're going by the old argument from John Alquist, who popularized this before the Human Genome Project.
I'm going by what professional geneticists say. Our overall genome is 95% the same.
No. So do you know because do you know what they
It's absolutely not no. I've it's consulted with multiple as a geneticists on this.
For 15 years who reads papers like this all the time, I am telling you, no. And there's many more other research people have done to look at this, including the fact that we're in the epigenomic project. The claim that we think that they're 98% similar is so cocky.
98.6% genetically similar. The overall genome is 95.
Before the Human Genome Project, we thought that 95% of the human DNA was useless. Now, thanks to Project Inco and other projects.
Well, you're jumping topics at a whim here.
I'm sticking to it.
No, you're just not. And you're saying so many things that are wrong. Let's just try to talk about one thing.
If you allow a person to talk, that's how a good, respectful conversation goes. This is not how a normal... If I was talking on the street, you wouldn't be like, buddy.
A dishonest conversation is when you jump from topic A to B to C to D.
It's going to take 10 to 15 seconds each time, and you could talk back. You understand this, Plant Pearson? This is very simple.
You're gish galloping and steamrolling. You're bringing up 10 different things at the same time.
I'm not bringing up 10 things.
Yes, you are. We went from what should the evidence be to human genome to epigenetics.
I gave you the example. We don't see mutations increase informational complexity within the genome. You said that you made another point about humans and chimps being
nowhere close to the thing you said.
Can I please explain why that doesn't work? Sticking to the topic, by the way. Are you going to? I would love to do that, Planet Pearson. Would you let me do that on my own stream? Would you allow me to do that?
So I picked the topic, which was give me the evidence. You keep changing the subject. Pick one topic.
Let me explain. Would you allow me to explain? I would love the chance to do that. Would you let me do that?
Let's stick to the topic.
Every time you go on a tangent, I am going to have to interrupt. Yes, you are.
This is very pertinent to the discussion. Would you allow me to do that? We're wasting time.
I asked you for evidence. What is the evidence that you would expect?
I've discussed with evolutionists for 20 years, and I've always, the respectful ones, always giving the arguments. The professional debaters who like to use debate tactics, do as yourself, they interrupt, they say, you guys do this. Just let
you're,
me talk.
You're still not giving any evidence.
Yeah, no, so, just let me talk.
Like, what would be the standard of
evidence? Without interrupting, give me, just let me talk. Oh my gosh. And then you can talk.
What
can
would
talk
be the standard of evidence you would need to be convinced of an increase of complexity of the genome?
So, okay. Yes, that's true. So let's go and let's talk about really quickly that, just really quickly, that for the longest time, everybody said that 95% of DNA was useless, right? Now we think of epigenetics, we know that's not
that's
true.
That's a different topic.
Epigenetics did nothing to uncover how much junk DNA there really is.
Is it possible?
You have no clue what you're talking about.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
You have no idea what you're talking about. If you think that epigenetics did not increase the amount of functional DNA we think that there is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, what, oh, your false god.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Just listen to what I'm saying without interrupting, because you're obviously not understanding. Are you a scientist?
No.
Okay. All right.
I am.
I've been researching chemistry for 15 years. He is, too. I listened to him. And
that's
by the
great.
Way, we had very,
epigenetics very did nothing to decrease the amount of junk DNA we find in genomes. Nothing okay, at all. Epigenetics is a change in gene expression.
Are you not familiar with Project ENCODE? Are you not familiar? And several people after that claiming we're going to go even higher than 80%.
What does 80% have to do with anything?
Okay, if you were listening, you would know, but you interrupted. Would you allow me to explain it really quickly? Because I talk fast, obviously. I would love to do that. Can I do that?
I actually hate the way you keep jumping from one thing to the other. I asked you, what would the evidence of evolution be? And now we're talking about epigenetics, which doesn't preclude evolution in any way.
So I'm going to try to be a moderator here. So you brought up a point. You brought up like the increase of complexity of DNA. That's something that you don't see. You don't think we observe that, correct?
Somebody for listening, he didn't obviously listen.
No. He listened too.
I heard you say that. I've been pointing out that you keep jumping to different things since then.
So now let's set a standard.
No, I'm not.
And I asked you specifically, what is the rate you would expect to see?
That's not what happened.
It's 100% what happened. You can watch this video on YouTube tomorrow, and you can see that that's what happened.
Let's let him explain, because he wants to moderate. Let's give him a chance, because obviously we're at an impasse of not being able to listen to each other. I'm listening to you.
Dear, you're not convinced that there's an increase of complexity in the genome, at least not at the rate that is necessary to justify evolution, correct?
Definitely not at any rate.
Okay.
What is the rate?
So what observation of an increase of complexity would convince you that it could be
way more than I don't know what the amount of beneficial mutations now. So people classify it as beneficial mutations. That rate is way slower than it needs to be. We would need to see so many.
Why does it need to be faster than what is observed? Keep in mind, you don't even know how fast it's currently observed.
What do you think we observe? Because that's a huge problem.
This is literally a according to you. You're the one that's claiming we have an observed rate and it's not sufficient according to you. So don't ask me. I'm asking you, what is the rate that you would expect to find, and why does it need to be higher?
I want to know. I mean, obviously, we could go down this road, but
you're the one that said we observe a specific rate and it's not high enough. So don't turn around and then say to me, what do you mean by observe? You're the one that said it.
This was calculated back in the 1950s, the amount of beneficial mutations. And
the Haldane problem? You're leaning on science from 75 years ago.
Do you think any good science was done 75 years ago?
Obviously. Today we know so much more.
Okay, yeah, but there's still so much we don't know. Let me explain to you why I have a problem with what you said. You said, what we observed.
It's what you said. I didn't say observe. You did.
No,
we observe this amount of complexity added to the genome, and it's not sufficient. Stop asking me about what I said about observation. You said it. You said we observe this much. It's not enough. Now tell me why it's not enough. It's your claim.
Definitely not enough. It's definitely not enough.
Why is it not enough?
Because we would need to see, even per generation, we would need to see so many more, because we have literally so many differences. Because we don't see that connection genetically. We don't see that. There's a huge difference between
you're just you, saying words.
No. You still think that we are 98% similar to
98.6% genetically similar, 95% overall genome.
By the way,
it's 100% true. I've watched 4-hour YouTube videos.
He came up with obviously the theory of this. He put it forth. He was the most popularized person who put it forth. Is now a creationist, a young Earth creationist, right? You can look it up. He was the biggest proponent of this. Now that the Human Genome Project come out, we understand that's completely false, right?
It's not false at all.
Yes, we do. We understand that what they used to calculate the similarities between chimps and humans, they excluded certain parts of DNA. Oh, those are duplicates. Those are duplicate parts. We just exclude them. Now we're into epigenetics. We understand that those supposed duplicate parts actually have functionality.
host.
You're saying, oh, you're not even listening to what
because
I'm saying.
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
What did I just say? What did I just say?
You said that they're double counting some parts and that artificially increases.
No, that's not what I said at all.
It's 100% what you said.
You're completely excluding it. They're excluding all these characteristics of DNA. Do you know what you're talking about? You said you're not a scientist. How are you even qualified to argue this?
Are you a scientist?
Yes.
Are you a geneticist?
I understand because I'm a chemist. Chemist goes into genetics.
So you're not a geneticist. So end your live stream right now.
I have more claim than you. I'm actually going into scientific research and doing and developing things. I work with people
who work
on the human genome project.
So
I doubt
here's why what you're saying doesn't matter at all. I've seen these garbage methods that not geneticist creationists or geneticists that happen to be young earth creationists like, what's his name? Not Sadler, but I can't remember their names off the top of that. They come up with alternative methods, and then they get numbers like, oh, we're actually only 80% similar to chimpanzees.
What are they actually saying, though? What are they saying?
I'm telling you.
They just come up with numbers. It's just random. They're not actually pointing out good merited scientific arguments, good actual observations of what we understand now.
Correct. Creationists don't do that, and that's whose research I'm referring to.
True. There's so many creations that develop so many amazing
buddy,
things. I estimate there's probably
let
20
me get this out.
Working scientists in America today that are creationists, and we develop all kinds of great things. I have patents under my name. We do all kinds of great work.
The creationists that try to undermine the genetic similarity between us and chimpanzees, if you take their research methods that make us less related to them, like only 80%, when you apply it to all other animals, guess what? We're still more closely related to chimpanzees than anything else. All it does is drop the numbers down. The degree to which everything is related still holds absolutely true. Well, the relative degrees to which everything is related still holds true, which is exactly what you would expect if evolution is true.
What would it be exactly what you would expect? If there was a common designer too, who also
there was never a hypothesis of a common designer from the standpoint of DNA until we learned that DNA incontrovertibly confirmed the evolution narrative, and then creationists started to say, "Oh shit, now what do we do?"
I'm sorry. How do you think long ageism started? How do you think people believing in billions of years happened?
By looking at the scientific evidence.
No. Do you know who started it?
Who started what? The idea of long ageism.
Mm-hmm. In modern science, who started it?
Even people like Aristotle thought that the Earth could possibly be millions of years old. I'm talking about this.
Modern science. It's not connected to Aristotle. I'm sorry, it's not.
Tinfoil hat moment.
I didn't ask you if it's.
No, this is the key.
Or I didn't say anything about
years. Without millions of years, by the way, who is connected to the person who started evolution?
We can see billions of light years. The problem of deep time is not a problem at all. It's 100% consistent with everything we observe. Radiometric dating uncontrovertibly proves that Earth is billions of years old.
When was radiometric dating invented?
When was it invented? It wasn't invented on a particular day. We started doing it in the early 20th century.
Give me a decade when it was developed.
It began developing, I think, in the 30s, and then Claire Patterson was able to calculate the age of the Earth. He started doing that work in the 40s. It took a really long time, but in the early 50s, we got a number.
50s is the correct answer. All right. So do people believe in billions of years before that then?
Did people?
Yeah, did scientists believe in...
Some of them may have. I'm not sure what cosmologists were thinking based on how many light years we could see, because I don't know how precise...
It wasn't based on that. So where do you think the millions of years came from?
From scientific evidence and common sense.
No.
Like, literally, Lord Kelvin calculated that the Earth could be 400 million years old based on the rate of radiative cooling. Now, he was way off, and his method wasn't all that great, but he was at least trying.
That's outside the date of what I'm telling. So, do you want me to explain to you, since obviously you don't know the foundation of the entire idea of evolution? You want me
that's
to explain?
That has nothing to do with evolution.
Are you going
to
bring up, Charles Lyell and James Hutton?
Yeah, obviously.
And that's going to prove what?
Tell me another date that starts before then.
those guys didn't know how to do any kind of absolute dating technique.
It doesn't matter. This is where it starts, and this is where everybody comes afterwards, right? We start to say that now. Hindsight is 2020.
This is such pathetic conspiratorial thinking.
It's not conspiratorial. We can read what they wrote. These are the fathers of modern long ageism, right? Charles Hutton, who started uniformitarianism, right? Looking at rocks, thinking, okay, all these rates that we observe now are the way they've always been. Obviously, Charles Lyell took that, but he had a much more ardent, mission.
So you think the laws of physics were just randomly different in the past? That's fascinating.
Which was to remove Moses and Noah from geology. It was his stated mission, right? It's not based on science. Not on science.
Even if that was his agenda, those people clearly never existed, and there isn't a single shred of scientific evidence that even remotely supports any of those dumb stories.
Did you just say Charles Lyell didn't exist?
What? No, I said Moses and Noah obviously never existed.
Okay, that's in your paradigm, that's fine. We're not going to get into that, but we're sticking to science right now.
Literally, so the entire...
What experiment did Charles Lyell
do? The entire field of academics who study this kind of thing for a living, the vast majority of them would agree.
Yeah, so where did Charles Lyell... Because he's the first one. What did he do to try to determine the age of the earth?
I'm not entertaining your stupid poisoning of the well. If Charles Lyell didn't exist, we could incontrovertibly demonstrate the universe is billions of years old and so is Earth.
I can incontrovertibly demonstrate that all those dating methods you have are wrong.
No, you can't.
You can get any methods that prove that the Earth is younger. The universe is younger.
You have nothing. How do you account for the fact we see billions of light years?
By the way, I'll finish the story of Charles Lyell. He used snail shells, like dendrochronology we do. He tried to connect them together, and he came up with the age of 240 million years. Then his
great.
Buddy,
you're
his
only
pal,
150
Darwin,
years behind on your science.
He took that idea, and he's like, you know what? Since we have long ages, the Earth is really old. I'm going to take this to the idea of biology. We're going to look at natural selection.
And he came up with a hypothesis, which was then confirmed by genetics and the fossil record and geology and everything we know about science.
Actually, it's not confirmed by fossil record.
It absolutely is. The fossil record proves that your stupid flood couldn't have happened. Not just that it didn't happen, it literally is impossible for it to have happened.
Record. All proves that the flood did happen. It's overwhelming.
Do you know that limestone releases heat when it forms?
There's all kinds of metamorphical processes.
Mr. Chemist, do you know that limestone releases heat when it forms?
What's your argument with that?
Do you know that?
What's your argument with it?
So you don't know that, so you're not a chemist.
Oh my gosh. I want to know what your argument is through limestone creating heat when it forms.
To be fair, a chemist could not be a geologist expert and know the same.
It doesn't matter what he's... He's just asking a question, but he's not giving the point.
Should know about endothermic and exothermic reactions.
All right.
Are you aware that limestone releases heat when it forms?
Yes, it releases...
Are you aware that the amount of limestone there is on Earth, if it formed all at once, would vaporize the Earth's crust?
You're talking about the heating problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are so many heating problems that creationist scientists have calculated, and they admit literally every square kilometer of the Earth would have the equivalent energy release of multiple nukes going off at the same time.
God just made the reactor less exothermic temperature.
Yeah, so in other words, you have zero scientific evidence. The scientific evidence incontrovertibly says this could not have happened. So you have to say Herder miracle. No, that's your only option.
There's so many more arguments. This is one thing where they don't get the model exactly right, which is fine because we don't have a time machine to go back and see how exactly happened. That's fine. There's people...
That the limestone formed during the flood would have released heat.
Not at the rate of what they're describing.
Why? Why do you think the laws of physics were randomly different during Noah's flood?
It's not the laws of physics of our time.
It is. There you go. Why do you think the laws of physics were randomly different in the past for no reason?
That's not based on the laws of physics. That's geological metamorphical processes, right?
So this is not just based on the laws of physics. This is so... I have to try to be quiet because people in my house are sleeping. Why do you think the laws of physics were randomly different during Noah's flood?
This is my life. Can I ask you a question then?
I would really like for you to actually answer the question about why the laws of physics were different.
Because you're not going to try to like bogart on questions that you think you can get me on. We're going to actually talk about science.
I did get you. I promise I'll answer whatever question you ask me, but then next I'm going to ask you the limestone question.
Talk about the Grand Canyon, because we could talk about radiometric dating if you want to. Which one? Grand Canyon, radiometric dating, which one?
You said you wanted to ask me a question.
Yeah, I'll ask you a question about either one. I'll give you a chance to pick. Which one? Radiometric dating or Grand Canyon?
Radiometric dating, why not?
Okay, so what are the current problems you think with radiometric dating? How is let's say, uranium lead dating done?
You measure the isotopes of parent material to stable daughter products.
Okay. So, like, when they actually get a sample, what do they test?
The ratio of parent material to stable daughter products.
A physical sample, what is it?
What is a typical sample? For uranium lead dating, they look for zircon crystals. Zircon crystals, when they form, expel lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're a chemist, you should know that.
I'm asking you, I knew that already. I'm asking you if you knew. So when they pick whatever zircon crystals they want, how do they do that?
What do you mean, how do they pick zircon crystals? With tweezers, perhaps?
Crystals that are there. That's
yeah, how do they decide which ones to test?
They test all kinds of them.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. You don't know the process. I've actually observed it up close, and I've looked at it. I've watched it. How do they pick? And this is the most accurate method, by the way.
Go ahead and inform us.
All right. So when you're actually going through and picking, obviously you pick which ones you want. You get the zircon crystals. You isolate them. There's a lot of chemical processes you go through to isolate the zircon crystals you want. You go on. You just put them under a fume hood. You're checking them out. You look at them. And you look for specific characteristics you want to test through. And they throw out zircon crystals that they think are not going to provide useful data to them. Which is
here's the conspiratorial thinking once again.
Yep. It's not conspiratorial. This is you can even look this up. I'm sure there's probably a video somewhere of somebody doing zircon crystal selection for uranium lead dating. This is exact process. There's no conspiracy here. This is well known.
There is, because you're saying, oh, if they picked the right ones, then somehow the numbers would support the Earth being 6,000 years old, which is just utterly ridiculous.
We know this. We could go to the U.S. Geological Survey. There's 29,000 samples we could look through, right? And we could look back and see how accurate all these radiometric dating methods are. Obviously, there's a problem.
Insanely accurate.
Not insanely accurate.
Yes, insanely accurate.
Whatever reason my see, give me time to bring it up. Maybe
literally, there's this well-known creationist. I can't remember his last name. He has a website. He's published the dates of literally thousands of meteorites, and the entire range of them. The average is right there at 4.5 billion years old. Even creationists publish this stuff and they say, yep, they absolutely, the average falls right there at 4.6. You get weird deviations in some of them, but you don't throw out the 99% of your data because of what the outliers say.
Well, I have an iCloud problem with the picture I was going to use, but it's a graph of the summation of all the samples in the U.S. Geological Survey, all the different dating methods, and you just have basic error bars, right, to see within a range. We're talking about billions of years. That's one criteria of keeping it within a certain range, right? And then we have other criteria we use to see if the method is accurate. And we're just basically saying, are you within like 30 million years, which is a pretty easy attainable zone. Like, that's still considered accurate and precise, not like the most accurate method that I'm describing to you, but that's still pretty accurate. But we see time to time with the graph showed, obviously, it was all different columns, all different methods, potassium, argon, rubidium, strontium, lead, all the different radiometric datings you would use for rocks and how accurate they were. We were in 70%, 60%, 70% among consistency of the same sample taken again and again. So how accurate would they be? You combined all the methods together, analyzing the same sample, it goes down to 53% consistency and reliability in terms of coming up with the same age. It's not an accurate method.
Wait, same age? What
margin of error? Yeah.
Yeah, what's the margin of error here?
So error bars is one of the criteria, right? And that's a major part of it, which is like the range of like, with some 30 million, which is pretty like...
Just give it a percentage.
I got to go back and look at it. I don't have the graph because it's not popping.
If my target...
It's really good, you know what I mean? It's...
I wish I could bring it up. If you want me to send it to you.
When you say 53% of the time they give the same age, that's like, my target is 100 and I measure 100 once and then 99 the next time, you could say, oh, it only works half the time. Yeah, except my two measurements only vary by 1%. So you don't have the picture, so I'm not going to pick on you. Like, we can't make claims about it because you don't have the picture.
It's just telling me this is the argument, right? It's pretty obvious. This is a huge known problem.
It's just such not a problem. Radiometric dating is correlated with archaeological sites of known ages all the time.
Nobody can hear what you're saying. Nobody can hear what I'm saying. If you just start talking while I'm talking, I don't try to talk while you're talking. Like, I try to listen to you. Like, if you just talk while I'm talking, like, nobody can hear us. So, like, the big problem they notice, obviously this comes from just analyzing samples of known age, right? You look at, like, lava flows that happen right now, and they're 100% wrong all the time on those, right? So they don't do that very often. We know
they're not.
Yes, they are, because go look it up. They're 100% wrong all the time.
You just are so clueless.
No.
If there's a margin of error.
Go to the U.S. Geological Survey site and actually see this.
I know. I've done this before.
Have you? Really?
Yes. You either haven't done it, you've just listened to creationist propaganda about it, or you haven't understood what you're looking at. Host, listen to me.
I think you're just trying
to save
face.
Host. Like when you changed the subject on the limestone thing.
Oh, no. Who brought the subject all the way up to here? We were talking about genetics, and you dropped it. You moved on. You're like, oh, I didn't
know. We were talking about genetics, and you leapfrogged to epigenetics and all kinds of things.
Epigenetics is part of it, my friend. If you don't understand epigenetics, that's your fault.
I understand it more than you could in 10 lifetimes.
No, you. Host. You're not even a scientist, man.
Neither are you.
Yes, I am. I've been a research chemist for 15 years. Now I'm in the commercial side, but now, a few years ago, I was still a chemist. I was still doing it. Now I'm in the commercial side making more money. That's what it is.
Host. But radiometric dating has margins of error, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Huge margin.
Okay. That was catastrophic of you to say just now. Huge margins of error, right?
No, they don't have in order to be right. No, like the error bars are the 30 million. That's a pretty generous thing. But to say that there's a huge wide range for it to be no. In order to be accurate, you have to be within a certain range.
That really had nothing to do with what we're talking about. There's a margin of error. Let's say you're dating some igneous rock and it has a margin of error of, let's say, a million years. Okay.
That'd be pretty amazing.
If you date a lava sample that erupted yesterday, what is the range of dates you could get?
Well, here's the problem with
research. Yeah, it could go to a million years. So this talking point you use of, accurate, it's within the range of error. It's inappropriate to use that technique to date something that formed only yesterday. This is the propaganda that this guy and the creationist websites peddle to you guys.
I'm not going to give you a clip from this. Here's why what's the problem with what you say. Because it's not just a million years. We get answers for hundreds of millions, up to a billion even, for some recent samples from like 300 years ago. And what's the excuses we always see from people dating them? Oh, it's too small of an amount. We can't really date. Oh, it was corrupted. It was by the gases coming out. It was contaminated. That's always the excuse we see from these samples. And if that's true from samples today, why can't that be true? Why can't they be contaminated with the same gases for samples that are older? Why is that just true for the newer samples? And nobody ever answers that. Nobody ever tries to address that. They avoid it. They avoid these debates. It's only because we have platforms like these that these arguments, these obvious flaws in the system are brought up. Isochron dating don't account for anything. All these supposed fixes for the assumptions that can't be proven don't work.
I could get you in touch with a PhD geophysicist. Like, his name's PhD Tony. I could get you in touch with him. He'll tell you all about how scientists know what they're doing.
Okay, I'm a scientist. I know what I'm doing. Plus,
you're not a geophysicist.
I'm not. I did take physics. I understand, with calculus, and I understand quite a bit of it, not probably to the level he does, obviously. But I understand those physicists that work on the creation side also have made amazing accomplishments and obviously have these debates. And these people
not a single accomplishment.
Creation scientists have never published anything. There's just 20,000 to 30,000 of us out here doing nothing, I'm sure.
I was going to say in peer-reviewed academic journals. Sometimes they do that, but only when they're doing work that has nothing to do with pushing their young earth agenda.
Why do you think that that's not allowed? Shouldn't the merits of their argument be allowed to be heard? Why does it take platforms like this in order for arguments to be heard?
Does Answers in Genesis allow Muslims to publish Muslim-supporting science?
Well, the Christian side, that's a prerogative.
Oh, okay. And secular science doesn't allow young earth creationist stuff in it.
They know they're a huge platform. Answers in Genesis will go out and debate all kinds of people if they have a good scientist to do it. I don't like some of their talkers doing it because they don't understand science, but if they have a good scientist to do it, that's great. And they argue on merits, right? Not just the Bible. They argue on the scientific merits of it. That's great. Why don't we have that? Why does it take platforms like this in order to do it? It's because of all the trials we've had in the U.S. preventing that from happening, right? And Dr. Eugenie Stout, we can't teach intelligent design schools because we do kids.
You shouldn't, because it's not science.
It is actually science.
It's literally not science. It makes zero hypotheses. It's untestable. The entire thing was literally a conspiracy. We have their wedge document. That was the entire plan. The entire time was to, they knew damn well that intelligent design wasn't science. It was just their way of trying to get science into classrooms because they think there's moral decay in society and we need to have more religion pushed onto people as like a effectively in this way it would be government sponsored, which is against our constitution. These people hate science and America.
The natural humanism driving evolutionary being taught in school, is that not a religion too?
Clearly not, because we don't believe in magic.
How is it not? It's a belief system. They from
religions are belief systems in deities and the supernatural and magic.
No. Religions are any belief system about the world. So anything that you experience,
literally false.
Go look up the definition of religion and look at it. It's a belief system. So anything that you've experienced in your life, gone through and looked at, people have taught you things, experiences you've had.
I'm convinced you exist. Is that a religion?
All these things.
I'm convinced you exist. Is that part of my religion?
I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to mute you because you're just talking in the middle of me talking. You can just wait for your time. Everybody can do that, but all the experiences you had help make the informed decisions that you make when you wake up every single morning, right? Belief systems exist all over the place, and everybody has a religion. Everybody does. Because we all believe something about the world, right?
I like Lucky Charms. Is that a religion?
No.
Fucking an opinion. Genius.
That's an opinion, man.
Wow. So I believe that I like Lucky Charms. Beliefs are religions, but that's not a religion.
Lucky Charms more than you probably.
Okay, so host, are you aware that we do use radiometric dating to confirm ages of sites of known archaeological age like Pompeii?
So what's the primary way we date archaeological sites?
So that was a yes or no question.
Yeah, but you don't obviously understand it. If you're aware that they do that,
no,
well, how
I
do
under. I understand my own
What's
question.
What's the primary way we date archaeological sites? I just want to know if you know.
I literally don't care about whatever diversion
you're
trying
to
do.
I'm just trying to show that you don't know what you're talking about.
Are you aware, or do you accept that we have dated known archaeological sites to their age, such as Pompeii?
I understand. I want to know if you know how they use it.
Are you saying yes?
Of course they use that, but what else do you
Why
use
is it? Why
what,
is it that you acknowledge that radiometric
primary?
Dating works for things like dating Vesuvius, but you say it can't work for trying to tell if the Earth is billions of years old? Why does radiometric dating suddenly stop working when it proves that the Earth is not 6,000 years old?
Let me go look at the Vesuvius. I don't actually think that all the data for Vesuvius is accurate. Let me go look at it again because I'm not up to, like, I don't have it in my brain still. I have to go look at it. But my question back to you is, what is the primary way we date archaeological sites in the Mesopotamian area?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
It's
That's completely irrelevant.
Well, it's not completely irrelevant.
Yes, it is.
What they do is they date. No. Are you kidding me? It's not completely irrelevant. Because what they do is they use
My
the
question
radiometric
has
dating
nothing to do with, in
God.
General, how do we do archaeology?
Can you listen at all? Can you ever listen to somebody besides your own voice? Just listen to people. It'll help. You'll be less stubborn. Your heart will soften. You'll be able to understand people's arguments. Because right now, it seems like you don't even understand our arguments.
Do you think it's possible that your religion is false?
Just because I took a breath doesn't mean you can take over the conversation. I'm trying to explain to you what happened.
And I'm trying to expose you as being dishonest.
No, I'm trying to expose you that you don't know what you're talking. You didn't even know that we use pottery. That's the most basic, obviously, dating method we use in the Mesopotamia. You didn't even know that.
Do you mean ostracon?
So anyways, Egyptian pottery is the primary. We use all kinds of the pottery too. But what they do is they'll date above and below. If it doesn't agree with the pottery, they throw it out. So it's not even a primary way they date things with in the terms of the Mesopotamian area. So I don't know why you bring that up as an example.
This has nothing to do with the efficacy of radiometric dating for sites of known archaeological age. Literally
that's
nothing.
Fine. You didn't know
it's
that.
Fine that you diverted everybody to something completely irrelevant. No, you're just big mad because you got exposed for, I accept radiometric dating when it doesn't threaten my belief about the age of the earth, and I don't have anything I can say in response to why do I throw out the evidence when it does say the earth is older than 6,000 years old. So then you started talking about pottery as if that somehow equals you scored some points. Haha, no, Peterson didn't know about pottery. Therefore,
you wanted to know how they dated the area over there with the rock, and that's just not how they dated. They date the layers based on pottery. Then they'll date the layers above and below.
You diverted in talking about Egyptology, though. And right the dating of
I didn't even know you were still here. What's going on?
Specifically here.
I understand where. Okay, what the.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I guess I shouldn't wait anymore. Thanks.
No, I didn't know that you were going to. I had no idea who was talking. Sorry.
Whoa, yeah, because I'm only interfering when I know something. And you're talking about Ostracoda, you know, the dating of pottery. He's not talking about Egyptology. He's not talking about pottery. And even then, that is not the only method they use to date Ostracoda, especially in areas like Mesopotamia and Egypt. So I don't understand what is this diversion.
Did you? That's fine, because I just wanted to know if he actually knew what he was talking about in terms of how they age things in the Mesopotamian area, in terms of archaeology. Because he brought up archaeology, which was on topic, by the way.
Where's Vesuvius?
The topic was radiometric dating, and you started talking about pottery, as if that proves or disproves anything about radiometric dating. It doesn't.
No, I already discussed with you why radiometric dating isn't accurate.
And no.
It's based upon something that can't be proven. So uranium dating, let's go into that.
You said, I believe in radiometric dating for Pompeii, but I have to disbelieve it for other claims that threaten my religious beliefs.
You don't have any kind of logic that works for that. No, you were just trying to speak for me.
Okay, why do you accept the radiometric dates for the site of Pompeii and not
I never said
others?
I accepted it. I said I have to go look and see what they dated.
I said, are you aware that they have accurately dated it? And you said, sure. And then after we went through the whole thing, then you said, actually, I don't know how accurate
the. You did add that in at the first time you asked, are you aware that they used radiometric dating? That's what I was answering yes to. I didn't know you threw that in the extra part. Did you know they accurately dated? I didn't hear you say accurately. I don't know if you said that.
Oh, that's just not true.
No, that's just.
Can I ask you about the limestone thing? So why do you think the laws of physics were different during Noah's flood?
And again, I have to look into the heating equation again, what you're looking at, because obviously I see there's arguments against
it. He has
it.
No answer for this.
Oh my gosh. It's because I'm not exactly informed of the specifics of the equation of it that you bring
up. No, you need to come up with your excuse for how the laws of physics were different.
Well, you can come back tomorrow. You can discuss it. All I have to do is take me one day to look at a couple papers about it. Come back tomorrow. I'll be streaming before I do something.
Do you think it's reasonable to just think the laws of physics were randomly different in the past?
What?
Do you think it's reasonable to think the laws of physics were randomly different in the past?
We're calling it laws of physics. We're talking about changes in how systems produce. Do you know, right? Through many different geological chemistry reactions, different amounts of enthalpy happen through different causes. So therefore, different amounts of heat could happen. So therefore, we could talk about how all those different heats are generated and then come up with all kinds of different ideas about how that heat was generated. So it's not just an open, closed subject. Like, we can have debates about how much
creationists that know how to calculate this have completely conceded this point.
Why do you keep talking while I'm talking? Because all you have to do is wait. And you see how fast I talk. I'll finish. You don't just interrupt people. Like, because you debate on TikTok all the time, you just need to learn some decorum, right? I'm just trying to help you understand. You just listen to people. Okay, so you ask me a question. That's fine. So we could go into like dating methods, if that's what you want to talk about. Just talk about anything else, but we can talk about dating methods. Do you want to talk about more about dating methods?
No, I just want to talk about, we're kind of having a discussion on uniformitarianism in a way, but this is going to sound like a tangent. I promise you it's not. Do you think that the universe is finely tuned?
I think that it's very specific. Yeah, I think that God made it for a reason. Yeah,
okay, so there's a thing such as the decay constant, right? That's one of the constants.
The amount of radioisotope?
Yeah. So that is one of the constants. So to deny the billions of years that incontrovertibly are shown through like dating of meteorites and things like that, to believe that it was that it, the rate of decay was different in the past, you have to betray your belief that the constants are finely tuned. To believe that the rate of enthalpy or whatever in during Noah's flood was different somehow, you have to betray the finely tuned universe you believe in.
No, because
yes, you do though.
We look at this, right? It's fine if we betray if it's not true. So what we do is we actually do real science and we determine if something is actually true. If we think something is true throughout the past, it's really a question of like historically looking at, is that, can we say that's true now? Just because we observe it now, we know, for instance, that carbon 14 radiometric dating, the actual rate would have been different. The actual amount of parent to daughter isotope ratio would have been different. We know that's probably true for uranium lead as well. For carbon-14, we know it's absolutely true because we can see the decay of the Earth's magnetism, which actually governs and protects us from the cosmic rays.
That doesn't change the rate of decay. It changes the rate of the formation of C-14.
If you were listening, there's another assumption besides rate of decay, which is parent-to-daughter isotope ratio, which we don't know what the original amount is, right? Now, the popular argument with uranium-lead dating is...
They have methods for that.
Let me see if you understand it. I can go into it. So you said it earlier, zircon crystals expel lead. Why is that?
I've read the reason. I don't remember. Not esoteric, but it's very specialized mumbo jumbo.
I couldn't commit it to
memory.
It's basic chemistry, but there is a physical nature to it.
It's not basic. It's very, it's pretty advanced.
It's just polarity, man.
Saying it's just polarity isn't a description of why it happens that way.
Yes, so there's different polarities between lead and the crystal lattice. And so in chemistry, we have, you know, obviously the expulsion, we have polarity differences that actually expel each other. So that's one of the reasons why it's expelled from the crystal lattice, right? So people say that's why it's a good method. That's why zircons are good, because they supposedly expel lead, right? So therefore we know for sure that there was a known parent to daughter isotope ratio, but that's just not true. And we could see that through all kinds of different, like, if we look back, then we could see there's all kinds of different amounts of lead in there that could supposedly contaminate that. We could look and see there's helium within the crystal lattice structure. The helium diffusion of that zircon crystal is still there. So therefore, we knew that not only was there different amounts of lead, but the rate was actually different. If there's still helium within the zircon crystal, that diffusion rate would have eliminated it out. It wouldn't still be in there. We wouldn't still be able to measure it. And by the way, zircon helium diffusion is another way to date. It's a pretty accurate way to date. And we can date it. And if you date some of these billions of years old rocks, we get thousands of years. We get 6,000 years. We get 7,000 years based on the helium diffusion rate, which is a known constant, which is accepted among all scientists of whatever creed you want. The helium diffusion rate out of zircon crystals, we can measure that. And that shows us that the rate, in fact, did change. If we're looking at how much lead there is and the amount of helium, we could say, yes, the rate, in fact, did change.
The rate of decay or the rate at which...
Yes, because we have...
Okay, well, then you believe the laws of physics were different in the past.
No, it's not a law of physics, my friend.
The decay rate is a constant, is one of the finely tuned constants in our universe.
It's not a law of physics. I'm sorry, that's an assumption, right? It's not a law of physics. You know, I don't know if you understand what laws of physics are, but that's not a law of physics.
What isn't a law of physics?
Well, how many helium atoms are released every time we get a half? How many helium, every time?
What are you saying is not a law of physics?
The decay constant is not a law of physics.
I didn't say the decay constant was a law of physics.
You just said the decay constant is a law of physics.
No, I didn't. I said, if you say that the rate of decay was different in the past, then you're saying the laws of physics were different in the past.
Change for that to happen. Just the circumstances will create that, right? No, it's not a law. Like, if an environment existed that was nothing like we see today, for instance, there would have been a global flood, and there's so much proof of that actually being true. You don't accept that.
I've looked at it.
You put whatever high-pitched giggle you want. It doesn't matter.
The sedimentary layers are not sorted by density, and the fossils completely contradict it.
I could bring up the scientific arguments, which you wouldn't be able to refute, about why the flood did happen. and you wouldn't be able to refute them.
There isn't a shred of scientific data that can support the flood. The layers are literally not supported by density. That can't happen.
Hours I've talked with you. You're just saying can'ts. Wishes and nuts don't make candy and nuts, my friend. You're just wishing. All you're doing is wishing.
Says the guy that believes in magic.
You would have actually, I know, you would have actually taken on the merits of the argument instead of just making all these wishes you're making.
Buddy, I wrote a book about this. I looked into your claims. They're horse shit.
People write books wrong all the time, right?
Yeah, it's called the Bible.
And you just ran from it because we're talking about human diffusion. You don't understand it. You just laughed and moved on from it. We're still talking about uranium lead dating, and you moved on from it.
I didn't move on from anything. You're the one that brought up the flood. Who brought up the flood?
What?
Who brought up the flood? So you brought up the flood, so I didn't change the subject.
I would have just mentioned it, but you started laughing at it, so that's fine.
And then what you did was dishonestly say that I ran away from the topic, implying I changed the subject when it was you that brought it up.
What did you just go on a tangent on then?
You're the one that brought up the flood.
All right, let's stick to uranium lead dating then. So my argument again is the fact that we have helium still in there, by which we understand how the rate of helium forms, how many atoms form per uranium decay. We understand this. It's a known science. It's a known rate. This is accepted by everybody in the rate at which it goes through. We could see if there's any actual crystal lattice damage, through any kind of radiology, gamma rays, anything like that. We understand. We understand cracking. We can see all this. But if we find a good zircon crystal with heliums, and we can measure that. We understand that the rate definitely changed because we can look at how much lead. And we know this helium only came from the decay of uranium to lead. We understand this. So the rate had to have been different.
Then you believe the laws of physics were different in the past.
Radioactive
decay is a law. There's an equation for it.
What's the law? I mean, what are you saying? It's a law through the rate. All kinds of things.
The law of radioactive decay.
Do you think that because something has an equation, it's a law?
Laws are, not every law is describable with an equation, but huge numbers of them are. Have you heard of the Hubble-Lemaitre law, for example? Have you heard of Boyle's law, Hooke's law, the ideal gas laws? All of those are equations.
You can listen, but
what kind of chemist are you saying?
You're trying to move past the fact that you just thought that just because something has an equation means it's a law.
I didn't say that. I said it is a law. It has an equation.
You're just trying to list all the laws randomly in your head to try to move past the fact that you just thought all just because something has an equation, it's a law. And you took it. You had a moment brain.
I never said that.
We have Boyle's law and all the ideal gas laws. It's like, oh my gosh. Like,
buddy, you are humiliating yourself. I never said that.
You're humiliating yourself. You just thought that.
I know you are, but what am I?
What? Are you a child? Oh my gosh. All right.
That's what you're doing right now. I didn't do that. This is like the fifth time you've done that. Peterson, why are you going on this random tangent changing the subject? You're the one that brought up the flood. And you're the one that engaged with it.
You're just trying to filibuster. That's all you're doing right now. Because you got caught. You're embarrassed. Because you don't know science. You don't understand.
Buddy, you don't have the ability to embarrass me. You believe in fairy tales.
But you just like, all you have right now is a following, and people will gift you because they don't understand either. They're lemmings. But all the things you brought up are not good scientific. We brought up uranium lead dating. You said the rates were consistent. I gave you a scientific measure. Ian debated me on the way. He was embarrassed. He had to shut his live off, by the way. He shut his live off. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. He shut his live off because he's embarrassed. He didn't know how to debate this either. So you didn't have any argument against
literally appealed to changing the laws of physics in the past.
Let's refute my argument then. Why is the helium diffusion rate not a way to determine that the rates would have been different back then?
I don't know about this specific helium thing.
Why didn't you just say that? Why did you just go to the laws of physics must have changed?
I was letting such an. You're the one that said that they change. You said we have a change in the rate of decay in the past. That is a belief in the change. Yes, it is.
How? What law?
The law of radioactive decay.
That's not a law.
Yes, it is.
The rate is not the rate.
What is your definition of a scientific law?
Oh my gosh. Like we have it labeled as a law.
The rate of decay is described by an exponential decay function. N, I don't know if that's as a function of T or what, equals N naught E, which I would assume is the, what's that constant called? The E, it's the natural log or whatever, negative delta T. Like there's literally an equation for it.
as someone who's not even like related to STEM,
because something has an equation, it's a law. Sorry, go ahead.
Once again, I didn't say that. I said it's a law, and we have an equation for it.
Peterson, radiometric dating methods are not scientific laws. Their decay rates are not laws.
I didn't say that the methods are laws. That radiometric decay occurs is a scientific law.
The decay rate is not a law. I just looked it up.
It's not a law. I can literally search up scientific law right now. What does it say? A statement that describes a phenomenon in nature often expressed mathematically, which is what Peter is saying, that has been repeatedly verified by observation and experimentation.
Yeah, but this has not been verified very well, so it's not considered a law.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. So, host, I have a slightly different question, but it's within the framework of what we're talking about here.
I can go a little bit longer.
Sure.
I got famed there.
If the universe is 6,000 years old, well, is that what you believe?
I actually do believe it's somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 years and think there's good enough scientific arguments for them.
Cool. If the universe is only that old, what is the acceptable range of answers for how far we should be able to see?
So because of like people who have models of this, Dr. Jason Weil, the one-way speed of light, we understand that that's different. We'll pull up something else here.
Right. You just multiply the laws of physics in the past.
Speed of light was different. You just multiply the distance that light travels in a year by 6,000. It's really simple.
No, that's not it.
Yes. Yes,
so you think the speed of light was different in the past, so once again, you believe the laws of physics were just different in the past.
That's not the model. I'm not an astrophysicist, but I would definitely try to understand Dr. Jason Lyle's model, because that is one of the models of I think that is proposed. And he was, by the way, the only astrophysicist to predict what was going to happen correctly when the James Webb Telescope in 2022 looked out into the distant universe. What did everybody predict, by the way? That was a long age.
Are you talking about the galaxy the galaxies or whatever?
No, I just ignore that for now. Ignore that. So what did everybody expect to see from the James? You're talking about looking how far we can look into space. Now when we got the James Webb Telescope operational 2022 after the big huge fiasco that damaged it, when it was finally operational, what did all the scientists predict we were going to see? Can you explain it to me?
I don't know if you're talking about they expected the galaxies to be smaller than the way they look today or whatever. That's really been the only thing for James Webb that people think is some sort of gotcha, but it isn't. What stellar mass index were you using when you made your prediction about what the galaxies should look like?
I didn't make any predictions. But you don't know this? You don't know this what happened?
Do you know what a stellar mass index is?
We're not senior subjects. We're talking about the same thing. Looking how deep in space.
I'm talking about the James Webb and the galaxies
I know you're wanting to shift, but let me finish.
I'm literally talking about the galaxies, which is the thing you're going to bring up. You're going to say, the scientists thought it would be a bunch of baby galaxies, but they're these great big galaxies. Oh, no.
That's not even what I'm saying. What does this even say? You're not even getting it. All right. So everybody predicted.
Yeah, great big mature galaxies. Yeah.
No. We were going to see no heavy elements, right? So we were going to just see hydrogen, helium, lithium. We're just going to see those light gases. We're not going to see anything heavy like oxygen or carbon. We're not going to see any of those. And by the way, do you know how we obtain what that is made of? Do you understand how we do
spectroscopy?
That?
Yeah, there's a crystal inside the James Webb, and it can split that light beam. I think each hexagonal disc can get its own.
I've done this before in chemistry. We do this. We actually do this. So this is something that we do. Okay, so I've made.
Well, you don't do spec. You do mass spectrometry, not spectroscopy.
It is in old chemistry, right? So we don't use it specifically in lab because we have much better equipment now to analyze things. But in terms of if we transfer this chemistry knowledge to space, when the data we have is light, it is spectroscopy, you're correct, and we analyze that, we break it down. You can tell by the range. I've done this. We had all kinds of the tests we had to pass where we had to identify different things based on their spectrometric measurements and how they were split. So anyways, we expected to see just light stuff, and we expected to see not these fully formed galaxies, which you did bring up, no spiral galaxies. Everybody's predicting we're going to see young universe, right? There's only one person who predicted accurately what we're going to see and accurately what everybody was going to try to do to explain it. Now it's Dr. Jason Lyle. He expected we're going to find fully mature galaxies, heavy elements, spiral galaxies that, you know, we could see how long it took to form and what they were expected to be, size they're supposed to be. All these different things we're supposed to see at redshift 14, and we didn't see what they saw. We predicted. We saw what Jason Lau predicted exactly. And all the scientific papers afterwards, universes are maybe older than we thought. We got everything wrong about the old universe. And every article.
So in other words, the data supports the universe is older than we thought, not...
According to your paradigm. According to our paradigm, it already is what it is, right? He already has his model.
What?
Right?
It is what it is your paradigm. What does that even mean?
No, your paradigm is that it's old. Our paradigm is we expect the one-way speed of light.
That's backed up by evidence.
We expect the one-way speed of light to obviously show this differently through Dr. Jason Lau's model. I think that's a pretty good model. Obviously, every physics model is room for change, but this is a model that fits. It's a scientifically based model, and it fits within this paradigm. And there's so many other arguments you could put for our universe. For instance, spiral galaxies, right? If they were as old as we are, we would know how many rotations they would have. They would be so, like, more intertwined rotated than this. This is crazy. This shows how young these spiral galaxies are. We know the rate at which they spin. And this only shows, like, thousands of years worth of spin. This is crazy. This is actually provable. This is insane that people look at spiral galaxies and think they're billions of years old.
Did you say that spiral galaxy shows thousands of years of spin? Are you mad? It takes 200 million years for the Milky Way to make one rotation.
This is what a 200 million year old spin galaxy. You brought the number. I found the number. Right here is the spin number. This is what a 200 million year old spiral galaxy would look like. You're incorrect, my friend.
Well, the field of astronomy would disagree with you.
No. It wouldn't actually.
If I look up
the arguments, so the Earth's magnetism, right? We just went over that Earth magnetism with carbon 14 a little bit. So the Earth's magnetism.
No, I need an answer from you on what is the acceptable range of distances we should be able to see if the universe is 6,000 years old.
It's not about
the right answer, planet.
It's about what we see all right now currently.
It's not about that. So are you admitting that it's not even possible for you to have scientific evidence to back up your claim?
Because your claim is going
to remain the same no matter what the scientific evidence is?
What's my claim?
That the universe is 6,000 to 7,000 years old.
Okay, but what did I say is my justification for that? Just based on astronomy.
You avoided giving any answer is what you did. So what's the acceptable range of answers?
What was my answer?
You didn't give an answer.
Were you not listening? Were you talking over me again?
You didn't give an answer.
Can anybody else remember on the panel what I said? It was my model that I ascribed to. But I'm not an astrophysicist, so I haven't dug into that. I'm paying attention mostly to chemistry stuff, so I can look into that and explain it for you later if you want.
I didn't invoke Lyell when I asked you this question 30 seconds ago.
I did. We can roll back the tape. You want to bet on it? I did. 100%.
I didn't hear it. Maybe you did. I heard you bring him up earlier.
I said it four times. Four times.
So my question is, what is the acceptable range of distances we should be able to see if the universe is 6,000 or 7,000 years old?
So when we're looking back, we're seeing what we see appears to you guys. You have different paradigms. This idea, like what we expect to see. I expect is what everything that we see right now is over the course of thousands of years. You expect us that this is representing millions of years.
Holy moly, dude.
We're looking deeper into the past, which is just not true, right? I don't know how people can look at the different things in the universe and just assume they're billions of years old, right? There's so many things that disprove that.
Why is it that the observable universe is over 90 billion light years in diameter?
I'll go over a whole list of them if you want.
Why is it that the observable universe is over 90 billion light years in diameter?
Because that's the current paradigm you're in, man. You just assume that that's the way it is because of the speed of light that you observe here.
So you don't believe the distances that astronomers give us?
There's different models. And I'm telling you, you should look into Dr.
Real scientists don't have different models.
Yes, actually, we do. I'm a chemist, right? And I've been a chemist for 15 years, right? What we do is we get all the same data. We use chemometrics. We use all kinds of thermal analytics. We use nuclear magnetic resonance. We use all kinds of things to see what we actually made under the hood. We analyze it. We thermally analyze it afterwards. That's what business I'm in. And then we take all that data, put it in chemometrics, and then we all look at that data afterwards. And there was one particular project, which there's a couple other PhD scientists. There's a Korean and a Chinese guy. They disagreed with me in terms of what this actually was formed and what the application would be. So we all did our different, this is a Blue Sky Research project, we all decided to go our different directions. I learned within a week, my theory was probably wrong. So I went to the Korean guy and said, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna work on this with you. I think your idea is way more plausible. talked with the other guy, he was like, no, I'm going to stick with this. And he stuck with it, even though his data again and again and again just didn't work out. He was convinced in his own mind, right? This happens in everyday science with non, like, historical debatable topics. This is what we can observe today. People come up with different ideas, not, you know, disagreeing with any scientific method, just their interpretation of the data, right? And this is what we see in historical science to the extreme. Because we can't be, we're not back there, man. If you're just going to laugh, I mean, you have, that's not an argument. Laughing is...
And you're not giving an answer. What's the acceptable range of distances we can see if the universe is 7,000 years old?
What we're... Your argument is based upon we would only be able to see 6,000 light years.
I didn't give you an argument. I asked you a question, and you're allowed to give me your answer based on your own terms, and you won't do it. What's the acceptable range of distances we should be able to see if the universe is 7,000 light years or years old?
We're seeing 14 redshift deep into space. According to James Webb, that's how far we can look back into space. That's the technology we have today. 14 redshifts deep into space.
Why are you giving me the data that the secular scientists use to support a universe that's billions of years old?
It's not just the secular data. We all use this data. Dr. Jason Lyle uses the same data.
So you're not giving an answer. So now I have to ask you the other question. Why is it that we can see, or why is it that or I don't know if why or how would be the better question. Why is the universe 90 billion light years across, even though the universe is only 7,000 years old?
I'll look in Jason Lyle's model, because I don't want to mess up his model, because the one-way speed of light model is something I want to be able to like articulate better, but it's not...
Lyle just says the light was brought to us instantaneously at the moment of creation.
That's not his argument. That's the other guy's argument. That's not Dr. Jason Lyle's argument. So you're getting
some young Earth creationist models like Jason Lyle's anisotropic syncope convention suggests that light from distant stars reached Earth instantly because of an assumed infinity one-way speed of light toward us.
All right, so let me look at it again.
So the light was instantaneously brought to us. So what scientific evidence do you have to support that?
You'd have to look at his model. I'm not an astrophysicist.
I don't think his model has anything. It just says, well, Einstein's equations allow for this weird quirk of light to operate that way. And if we don't believe this, then we can't say that the universe supports a young Earth model. So we have to say that.
He's not going to present a model without any evidence. That's just preposterous. He never has. I've never seen him do
that. What evidence does he have that the light was brought to us instantaneously?
Wrong. Didn't you just go on a whole anecdote about how some people use data and they stand by it even though it's incorrect?
No, the interpretation of the data, my friend.
By the way, I Googled how long does it take the Milky Way to galaxy to rotate, and it said over 200 million years. So when you said the astronomy doesn't support that, it does support that.
So you just Googled something, and then that's automatically the right answer? Is that what you're doing? Seriously, is that your technique?
Google takes you to that's what you did earlier. Google takes you to the scientific data.
Okay, hold on.
What?
I just said hold on.
Oh, okay. Are you looking for the evidence in his model?
Yeah, I'm actually looking through it right now.
Oh, dang. I went to the Rational Wiki for it, and I did Control F for evidence, and it came up with zero results.
So Lyle cites Einstein, Reichenbach, who argue that the one-way speed of light cannot be measured without assuming a synchrony convention. All experimental measurements of speed of light, Michelson-Morley experiment, involve round-trip measurements, leaving one-way speed of light undefined. This allows Lyle to propose an anisotropic convention without contradicting known physics. For example, the measure, the one-way speed clocks at two points must be synchronized, but synchronizing them requires assuming the speed of the signal light used to set the clocks, creating a circular dependency. Consistency with observation. Lyle argues that the ASC anisotropic convention produces the same observational predictions as the standard isotropic convention for all measurable phenomena, time dilation, length contraction. Because these depend on the two-way speed of light, which remains C, obviously, he claims that the distance starlight appearing on Earth instantly under ASC explains why we observe light from galaxies billions of light years away without requiring billions of years of travel time, which if there was a transcendental creator, you would expect they do, because they brought everything to maturity, plants, animals, and humans. So you'd expect everything to be brought instantaneously.
No, you wouldn't. That's
yeah, that's actually what you would expect because the Bible doesn't allow for anything else. You can't fit time into the Bible. So it's exactly what you
expect. Because the Bible says
so. No, it's not because the Bible says so. It's actually, if that was true, you would expect there to be measurements for it. And I was about to go over the actual dating methods we could see within astronomy, why the universe is younger, why the Earth is younger.
Host,
just in astronomy.
Host,
just
the problem with what you're saying is it doesn't matter what the data is. You would just retroactively say God made it look that way.
I wouldn't do that. We were just going to use scientific arguments, right? We're not going to just say that God made it that way.
So if we could only see 7,000 light years in the universe, would the Bible then be false?
So we have to figure out what's going on. You have to actually, you're just laughing for no reason. Is that your argument? That's the fakest laugh I've ever heard. You know, you just stopped instantaneously.
Oh man,
right. We're not gonna do like cricket sounds. Ridiculous. So,
oh, that was so bad.
No, it wasn't. I said two words. What did I say? No, what did I say?
You said nothing for about an hour and a half, and then you were like, "Well, here's the thing."
Really, the limit of your ability to debate is like trying to capture little moments where somebody's trying to say an answer, and you just use that as a moment. Like,
I expose intellectually dishonest people. Those are my moments. Yes.
If you did it for a living, I would expect you to use cheat methods like that. I'm just saying. If you actually use, thank you, I appreciate it. If you actually use,
and if you were like, pretending to use science to back up your magical stories, then you would just make shit up on the spot, which is what you do.
Stop doing that. Stick to my script. If I try to bring up another argument, you say stop. Stick to my script. If I try to bring up another argument, you don't let me.
And when you change the subject, you say that I was the one that changed the subject. So,
well, no.
If we could only see 7,000 light years, would the Bible be false?
You just stick on the same thing. I already told you. If we're seeing 14 redshifts away, that's how far we're seeing. The difference in terms of how much time that is, is based upon the model which you use.
Didn't ask you for any time. I said if we could see 7,000 light years, would the Bible be false?
We're not using that as a measurement of time because we know there's different models, right? We're not using that.
I'm literally not talking about time. I'm talking about distance. If we could only see 7,000 light years, would the Bible be false?
That's not what the model says. And are you even paying attention, man? So that if you're using the one-way speed,
the model isn't a model. The model is just, oh, so thank you, scientists, out, for doing the data. Now let me say the light was brought here instantly. There, that's how it works. That's not a model.
If we stretched out space at a certain amount of time, right? And if the light was already brought here, if that was the natural way, if that's the way the Earth was created when it was first created, if it was formed, right? If it was first formed, and that's the way it is, then we have to like look into science and see if there's a way to verify that. If it fits with physics, then it does, right? And then it's up to everybody else to start making predictions based on that. And you know what? Dr. Jason Lyle has made predictions time and time and time again. And the secular scientists who go with the conventional paradigm, make their predictions, they've been wrong. He's been right.
Okay.
I wonder who
host.
If somebody, somebody's
what would be
wrong,
the observation that would prove the universe is...
How do you test the merit of a scientific argument? What do you do? How do you test the merit of a scientific argument?
Whether or not it can produce reliable, accurate results.
You make predictions, right? That's the way. That's the.
That's the first step. I was skipping to the end. What would be the observation we would make that would prove the Bible is false?
I'm still doing my line of questioning. You had your time.
This
is my lie, by the way. I appreciate you bringing all the viewers in. I thank you for that. I'm being gracious in that. Thank you for bringing the viewers in.
Oh damn! I didn't even notice. Nice.
You have a bigger following than me. I've heard about you. I have never seen your live yet. People have been telling me to debate you, but I haven't gone to your live yet, which we should do a debate. Pick another topic, evolution, whatever you want to do. We could do a debate. I don't know. When on your live? I don't know where. But I think it would be beneficial for people to hear both sides if you're up for that kind of thing.
I do it every weekend.
Take on endogenous retroviruses when it comes to common ancestry.
No, we're going to talk about cosmology some more.
I'm not an astrophysicist, but I could try.
Well, my question is, what observation could we make in cosmology that would prove what the Bible says about the age of the Earth is false?
Is false?
Yeah.
So we would constantly see like these young universes out there. We wouldn't see the heavy elements that we see out there. We would see what we would expect to see from that model, which is these young universes out there, because we're looking back into time according to, you know, this is billions of years ago. We're looking back into time. So we look there, we expect to see all these young not formed in their infancy universes, which we don't see. We expect to not see these blue star formations. We expect to see the Earth magnetism way more advanced than it is. We expect to see the moon, like we expect to see further out in terms of the rate it's moving away from Earth. We would expect to see that even further out than it is. Right now, it doesn't fit with the rate which we see. So the moon would be way further out if the universe was older. So all these things we don't see in our own universe, we just don't see in the universe. If the universe was billions of years old, we expect to see all these things. We just don't see them. We see a younger universe. We see evidence all over the place.
I didn't ask you.
The breakdown of comets, right?
You're not answering my question. You're answering a different question.
The supposed Oort cloud. This is the age of the universe. It is, yes. So we wouldn't expect to see any comets.
You're not.
We wouldn't expect to see any comets. We see comets all over the place. Where is this Oort cloud?
Incredibly far away. You're not answering the question. What you're doing is saying, if the universe is billions of years old, here's what we shouldn't find. I asked you, if the universe was only 6,000 years old, what observation would prove that false in astronomy?
Yeah, and I was giving you a contrary, which we would see all these different things.
No, see, what's happening here is your answer is nothing. Nothing would ever ever prove that the Earth and universe are not 7,000 years old. You've already just retroactively taken all the data and said instantaneous light. There, it works.
That's what I said. No, that's not what I said. What is it? What were the other things I listed? I just went over them.
Those weren't about the Earth being young. Those were about the universe being old.
If it weren't young, if it weren't young, right, we would expect to see way out there, billions of years, these younger form galaxies, proving that those are billions of years old, that they're so far out there, they were young. We wouldn't expect to see a fully formed galaxy like we see, which is my paradigm.
What stellar mass index are you using for the galaxy formation?
I don't know what it's called, but anyways, we wouldn't expect to see.
You have no idea what stellar mass index is. Why your assumptions about the galaxy formation are unfounded.
No, they're not unfounded because
they are. Because we don't know the stellar mass index of galaxies that are that far away. Because the farthest away galaxies, we only get a few photons from them. So we've never been able to gauge what their specific stellar mass index is or composition of stars is. Okay. We've always had to go based on the Milky Way, which is the only galaxy we can really see that kind of thing with. And that's... It's an assumption we're forced to make because it's the only kind of assumption we can make with respect to this. But that James Webb data, when they looked at it, the sizes of those galaxies was within the range of error of the size they should be, but they didn't like it because it did the error bars. It was kind of the error bars that touched on the acceptable range, and they'd rather have the other part of that. It's like a box and whisker pot or whatever. They'd rather have the body of it inside there. But then what cosmologists realized is, well, we're using a Milky Way stellar mass index. An early universe in Big Bang cosmology would have been vastly more dense, and star formation would have happened quicker because the matter was clumped closer together, and gravity would have coalesced matter together faster. A slight adjustment in that makes all of the data fit perfectly in the Big Bang model. Mm-hmm. There is no contradiction in the Big Bang model.
I read some of these. I didn't read all of them. I read some of these to try to explain this away. And then these arguments are all still in their infancy. They don't have a lot of proof for any of this. These are just ideas. Just like when they discovered, the tissue and dinosaur bones, right? They threw out all these theories, all these ideas, and none of them have held water. And there's no proof for any of them, and they just don't work, right? So there's just so many, like, people get scared, right? And right after, in 2020, you could see all the articles. This rewrites everything. This changes everything we know. Everybody understood this because it didn't fit with the conventional paradigm. All their careers, everything's on the line. No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. I literally explained to you that it was within the margin of error.
Over the course of the next year, you're right. People try to come up with supposed explanations, but none of these have any evidentiary support.
Do you know what the stellar mass index is for galaxies that are tens of billions of light years away?
I don't.
So then why are you saying that the evidence doesn't fit?
because I can see what they're just coming up with the idea right there, and they don't have no data, they have no experimental data.
Jeez, like instantaneous light arriving to Earth to preserve an age of 7,000 years old.
That's a beginning point, right? So if that's a beginning point, you can then make predictions upon that, scientific predictions, and what you expect to see. And every single time Dr. Jason Lyle has been right, every single time everybody else has been wrong, who's not of the convention. But there's other astrophysicists who make predictions to that are wrong, Dr. Jason Lyle, and they're similar. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is, and if you can't handle that, it's because, I don't know if it's ruined a soundbite for you, you want to interrupt, but that's the way it is.
Host, if it was 200 years ago, and you were asked how far away, like, we didn't know about the speed of light, but, so let's just say 100 years ago, 110 years ago, right? That's after Einstein published his paper, but it was before Edwin Hubble discovered the Andromeda Nebula was really a galaxy. I can't remember how far away he said it was, but it was in, I think it was a million light years away at least. But anyways, if it was over 100 years ago, and you know what the speed of light is, and somebody asked you, how far away do you think the light has gone since the universe began? What would your number have been? I don't see how it could possibly be more than 7,000.
I thought you said it was 200. Sorry, I was looking through things. I thought you said it was 200 years ago.
No. It's a little over 100 years ago, so we know the speed of light, but we don't know how big the universe is yet.
Oh, I
ask you, you think the universe is only 7,000 years old. How far do you think the light has gone then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think everybody would expect just to see if that was 7,000 years, right? We expect to see.
Okay, so then the evidence, that's a biblical hypothesis, and the biblical hypothesis was demonstrated to be false.
Yeah, but we've obviously understood a lot more.
But only by the terms of science. Science isn't an absolute.
Okay, well, I don't know who you are. Thank you for coming in, but we usually wait
to
end.
Host, I don't want to go, but I gotta go. But we've been talking for about an hour and 20 minutes.
Make sure I follow. I think I followed you because somebody told me to bait you. I did follow. Wait, did I follow? I think I did. Yes, I did follow you.
I debate every Saturday, Sunday, usually at 11 a.m. Pacific.
I'm Pacific too. I'm in Oregon, so okay.
Dope.